Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom.
Happy New Year! Today, you will hear a pre-recorded interview with Messianic Rabbi Eric Teitelman, and of course, I've got some fabulous music to share also, including a new song from Ted Pierce. Stay with me, and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. Goodbye 2020, hello 2021. This is the year of the Lord's favor.
Klein, Ian Torno.
And Vince Ian Torno.
And you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Yes, indeed. That was a great song from Deborah Klein and Vince Ian Torno. And I hope that you are feeling well. Remember, there are always things you can thank the Lord for. Please remember to count your blessings. And right now, let's hear about Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013 with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at ucccroc.com.
I just want to say a quick word about Upper Cervical Chiropractic. You might have some reservations about going to a chiropractor. This is not like other chiropractors. Dr. Ed and his staff don't do any of the snap, crackle, and pop things that you might find at other chiropractors. They use a certain type of tool. They really want to help you and make you well. And the whole theory behind upper cervical is based on science. You know, the brain controls everything that happens in the body. And if there is any pressure on the brainstem, then your organs and other body functions are not going to operate as God intended. And so they check to see if there is any pressure on the brainstem. And they have a gentle tool to help relieve pressure. And I've been going to them for almost 3 years now, and I have really experienced great results. So I highly encourage you to check them out. They're one of my sponsors. And also, Dr. Ed loves the Lord, and you'll hear wonderful music praising our Lord when you go to their office. All right, this next song is literally hot off the press from Ted Pierce. It's called Rain.
The world's greatest army was beside the sea. While Miriam played her tambourine, and the ones who came against us were never again to be seen. Joshua marched us down to Jericho. 7 days we walked around, and the city that would mock our God now lays in heaps upon the ground. Our God reigns. Galilee, thousands go to hear him speak. He says that faith in him is all we need. There are so many who believe, but everyone was surprised on that morning when the stone was rolled away and Yeshua came out of the tomb to conquer even death and the grave. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. stand in the shadows of the darkest night. When courage fades away, I can run to the tower of my refuge, and love sends fear away. My God,
this is Ted Pierce coming to you live from the Bagels and Blessings Convention in Pennsylvania. You are listening to the greatest show on radio, and aren't you glad?
Well, that was another fabulous song from Ted Pierce. I love it. And I understand he's got more songs that are new also, and he'll be sending them along to me, and I will be playing them on the air very soon. Right now, let's hear about Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840.
There's a song by an artist called Raphael that I like to play around the holidays, and while I forgot to play it just prior to Christmas, I think the sentiment is pertinent all year round, because Yeshua is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
And Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Yeshua, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Yeshua, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Yeshua, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Yeshua, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Shoot.
Again, that was an artist called Raphael, King of Kings. I just love that arrangement. It's just so cool. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. You are listening to Bagels and Blessings, and this is my first program for the year 2021. And I think good things are going to happen this year, and I think we should just look up towards the heavens and be expectant. Well, I'm sorry that we are not having a live contest since the whole show is pre-recorded, but please, please send me an email at bagelsandblessings@gmail.com or write a comment on my Facebook page, because I still have bagels and other items to give away, and I would love to hear from you guys. I don't have any way of knowing how many people are listening, but I would love to hear from you. Let me know how I can pray for you. Again, email, it's bagelsandblessings@gmail.com, or go on my Facebook page and send me a message. All right, well, let's see what other wonderful music I can pull out of my hat. All right, here's a song I really like a lot, too. It's from the band called Heart Cry of David, and this is called King of Glory.
With a shout we'll proclaim.
Again, that was King of Glory from the band Heart Cry of David. And in a few weeks, you're going to hear an interview I did with Micah Mahoney. He's the director of the Heart Cry of David group, and they have a lot more wonderful music for me to share. So that'll be in a few weeks. All right. Well, God is so, so good. I'm excited. In just a moment, you'll hear my interview with Messianic Rabbi Eric Teitelman, but let's hear from Earl Schillinger.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
We can't wait to see you at our Shabbat services. Our new building is so beautiful. Again, that address is 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and we would love to have you come. We have plenty of space so that we can still do our social distancing, and we wear masks so everybody is safe. And God willing, we won't have to do that much longer. And as I just said a few minutes ago, the whole show is pre-recorded. There is no contest today, but I have stuff to give away. And all you have to do is send me an email at bagelsandblessings@gmail.com or make a comment on my Facebook page and we'll connect. I'll get your info. I'll send you something. You'll be so thrilled and I'll be blessed to know that you're listening. All right, here is that interview with Rabbi Eric Teitelman. Rabbi Eric Teitelman, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. I have been discovering all kinds of people that I haven't met yet, and you're one of them, and I would love to hear a little bit about your story. So I'll start by asking you, were you raised in a traditional or observant Jewish home?
Yes and no. My parents were both Jewish. I would say early on in my earlier years, my parents lived on more on this liberal, secular side, reform, and but that changed mostly for my mother after my parents moved to Israel in 1973. They made Aliyah, and my mother kind of moved towards conservative Orthodox Judaism, and she ended up putting me and my sister in Orthodox school, and eventually I landed at a yeshiva in Bat Yam, which is south of Tel Aviv. So kind of moved from, Reform Judaism to conservative Orthodox Judaism later on.
Wow. And so you were living in Israel?
In Israel, yes. Yeah. So my parents were both from the Midwest. They met in Chicago. I was actually born in Chicago. And then they moved out to California in 1968 and then made Aliyah to Israel in 1973. So they were living in Berkeley, East Bay, San Francisco, and like I said, we were going to the local probably Reform synagogue at that time in Berkeley, and I went to Hebrew school there, but then, they moved to Israel. So that was my transition, and then my parents ended up getting divorced later on. My father moved back to California, And then I stayed in Israel with my sister, and in 1984, I moved to California to live with my father. I was in high school, going into my junior year of high school.
So, Rabbi Eric, how did a nice Jewish boy like you find out about Jesus?
Well, that's another interesting story, actually. It's sort of a... I'll try to give you a little bit of a shorter version. I'm not sure how much time you wanted to dedicate this evening, but when we were living in Israel around 1977 time period, my mother was introduced to a Messianic congregation in Jerusalem called Nativia. Joseph Shula was the rabbi there. And so we visited them infrequently, but for a couple of years, we would travel from Tel Aviv up to Jerusalem and visit with them. And I mostly just hung around with the other kids that were there. But I think that was an early introduction to me to Christians because, I mean, when I lived in Berkeley, I mean, I had friends who were Christian. They went to church, and I was never allowed to come over to the house on Sunday, and I wasn't allowed to go to church with them. But in Jerusalem, there, the Nativia congregation, there were Christians. Most of them were not Jewish Christians, but there were Christians coming from all over the world to visit. And so I met some amazing people, and I think that was probably the beginning of the journey. But my wife and I met in college, and then after traveling around, moving around, for a few years and to just getting ahead in my career. We bought a house and then, kids came along. And we did what a lot of people do. We started to look for a local synagogue where we could take our kids and give them a Hebrew school upbringing, similar to what I had. And my wife was also raised in a very Reform Jewish household in Los Angeles. And so we wanted to give them some religious upbringing. And we went to a number of different synagogues over the years, and we never really found anything that was a good fit for us. And this probably is going to sound strange, but my wife said, well, why don't we visit a church and see if the kids could maybe get a Sunday school education, Bible education in their Sunday school program. So I said, fine, okay, I mean, if that's what you'd like to do, I'm fine with that. I mean, some Jewish people have probably a little bit more angst about being around Christians, and I think because I was around Christians growing up and even in Israel meeting Christians, I wasn't quite as averse to Christians and Christianity, and so I didn't have any, feelings of hostility or, resentment towards Christian religion or Christians in general. So for me, it was, I had become rather secular by that time, leaving the yeshiva. I decided I was really not that interested in being an Orthodox Jew or a rabbi, either one, to be honest. And moving back with my father gave me a chance to go to college and study civil engineering, which I did. And so I was much more secular at that time. I was probably not an agnostic necessarily, but I certainly wasn't religious. And when my wife Kim suggested we visit a church, part of me was curious, to be honest. I was like, well, okay, I don't know what these people do in church, but I've never been to a church service. And so it was, part of it was just a curiosity. And, we went on and off over the years. A lot of times we dropped the kids off at the Sunday school, and we'd go get coffee. So it was free babysitting. I know it sounds terrible, but a lot of times we would go to the service as well. And I found the services kind of intriguing. I did not understand anything about Christianity, and the things that were being preached really didn't make any sense to me. And I think that was part of the, really, just I was being challenged sort of in my faith and what I actually believed. But we did that for quite a few years, just going to church and dropping the kids off and going to service. Like I said, most of the time we were there at the service. And at one point, you know, my wife said she wanted to volunteer in the, you know, with the kids program, and they said you had to be baptized, and so we went through the baptism program at the United Methodist Church in Carson City, Nevada. We were living in Nevada at the time, and I remember asking Reverend Linda, you know, before I started the class, I just had one question for her, and I said, you know, do I have to believe that Jesus is God? And she said, oh, no, you can believe whatever you want about Jesus. And I thought, okay, well, then I'm cool with this.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll go through with the baptism. And so it was around 1996 time period, and I remember it because my sister, Gabriela, had gotten married in Israel, actually. And so I was there for her wedding, and we were visiting. It was up in the Golan, and we were visiting the Banyas, which is the headwaters of the Jordan River, and I picked up a little souvenir, a little plastic bottle of water from the Jordan River. And so when we were going to get baptized, I asked Reverend Linda if I could pour this bottle of water, Jordan River water, into the sprinkling bowl, and she's like, oh, sure, you know, that would be fine. So it's interesting. I didn't have any understanding about the spiritual significance at the time. I just felt this, you know, sentiment to, well, if we're going to get baptized, you might as well have some water from Israel, and especially from the Jordan River. I mean, I knew that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. So here I'm, sort of a non-believing, you know, Jewish guy, and I'm sprinkled with water at a Methodist church in Carson City, Nevada, with water from the Jordan River. And that was part of the funny part of the story, actually, was, and then a year or so later, we actually moved from the Methodist church to a contemporary church, brand new church plant, and we went from bell choirs and pipe organs and the choir to, you know, rock and roll with drums and electric guitars, and, you know, the whole thing. It was just this night and day shift. But, you know, my wife and I were rock and roll fans and kids growing up, so we love the rock and beat of the worship, and so we move over to this contemporary church, and they were inviting people to audition for the praise team, and so my wife, you know, is elbowing me to go forward with it. I'm like, oh, sure, why not? So they put me on this praise team. So the funny part to me is, here's this unsaved Jewish guy sprinkled with water from the Jordan River at the Methodist Church in Carson City, singing on a contemporary praise rock team about Jesus. He doesn't believe it.
You know, you just can't make this stuff up. Oh, my gosh.
No, you can't. You just can't make this stuff up. And so, you know, again, like I said, we were doing this church thing for quite a few years, and we went from Nevada, we moved to New Hampshire, and the closest church to our house there was Merrimack Valley Baptist Church, and it was just a mile away. So we go from a contemporary church to a highly conservative Baptist church. I mean, you know, very, very conservative. And the guy that's preaching is, you know, it's hellfire brimstone. It's the classic, you know, Baptist sermons and turn or burn kind of stuff. And Kim signs us up for the newcomers class, polity class, and the guy that was teaching was a guy named Ron, and he was from California, from Northern California, so I kind of connected with him, and it was about that time period. I'm in my early 30s now, and I'm sort of thinking to myself, you know, this whole Christian thing, I've been doing this gig now for quite a few years, probably 8 or 10 years, and I don't know, I'm just not connecting with it. So either Christianity is just this fabulous religion that is sort of man-made, concocted, you know, built around, fabricated around this Jewish man named Jesus, which didn't sound very Jewish to me, or maybe there's something I'm missing here. And so my wife had, per the instructions of the Conservative Baptist Church, bought a King James Bible at Walmart, the cheap bonded leather ones, and it was really the first New Testament that I'd ever had in my, you know, possession. So I decided to read it. It was sitting around collecting dust anyway, so I decided to read it. And again, like I said, I was challenged because I really wanted to try to understand what was so special about Jesus? Why do these Christians seem to worship him? And, you know, what's in this book, this New Testament, that I've never read? And so that was the turning point for me, and I was challenged to read the New Testament. And I said, I did believe in God, and so I just said, you know, I just need to know the truth. I got to get to the bottom of this thing. And I think that was enough of a request that the Lord said, okay, you want to know the truth? I'm going to share the truth. And so as I began reading Matthew, Matityahu, Mark, Luke, John, it's just like the light bulbs were just going off, you know, on every page, and everything was making complete sense to me, and it was all connecting back to the Old Testament. I could see the connections back to the Old Testament, and that was the beginning, really, of the journey of transformation, and I wasn't planning to become a rabbi or a pastor. That's another story, but that's how I came to the Lord, and that was around 2002. So,
you know, Rabbi Eric, as you were sharing your story, all I could think of was, up to that point, you were just kind of like a wandering Jew. You went here, you went there, but you didn't.
You're not kidding. I mean, my parents, Chicago to Berkeley, and then from there to Israel, and then back to Berkeley, and then back to Israel, and then I go back to Walnut Creek in 1984, and then I go to Los Angeles, where my wife and I met, and then my wife and I started moving around. We went from Los Angeles to, we were up in Portland, Oregon, and then we were up near Seattle, Washington, and then we went down to Carson City, Nevada, and from there all the way across the country to Merrimack, New Hampshire, 2 years, and then we go all the way back to Northern California. We're up in Chico, and then we were there about 6 years, and then from there we ended up here in the Washington, D.C. metro area. So I jokingly tell people we are the classic wandering Jews.
Oh, gosh.
We've been all over this country, east and west. We've been there.
Wow. So tell me, after you finally realized that Jesus is the Messiah for the Jew as well as the Gentile, how did your life change? Yeah. How did your life change?
Well, in many ways, I mean, it began to change, and it was a process of change over a year or so. I would say that, or even a little bit longer, because I think as a Jewish person, I was, first of all, I was trying to get my head sort of wrapped around the concept of that Jesus is God. And that took some time to really find in the scriptures where I could make that connection. And then the second thing that I had to kind of get my head wrapped around and wrestled with was, okay, he's God, but, you know, why did he have to die for my sins? And again, the Lord took me through scriptures and Old and New Testament scriptures to show me, you know, that Jesus is the Passover lamb. So those were two big challenges for me. And I know a lot of Christians struggle with the Trinity of God. And I think a lot of, you know, Christians also struggle with the concept of forgiveness and, you know, the fact that we continue to struggle with our old nature. And so, you know, so that was a process. And then there was another third part that I was also deeply struggling with, and that was, well, now that I understood that Jesus, Yeshua, you know, that I later started to actually call him Yeshua, or Yehoshua is Joshua's Hebrew name, how did the church, which is, of course, now predominantly mostly comprised of non-Jews, look and feel so different from the Jewish people and the Jewish heritage that it clearly came from? And the Lord began to take me on a historical journey to study the history of the church, the early church, and then later up through, you know, Tertullian and then Constantine, and some of the schisms that took place in the church in the second century, arguing divisions of within the church that formed over how to celebrate the Passover, and of course the Council of Nicaea and what came out of that. And the Lord began to show me that there's been this very sharp, stark division that has been growing for centuries between the church and the Jewish people, and particularly in Europe, and the history, of course, of the church in Europe to the Jewish people is not great. I mean, there were, you know, it's a bit of a roller coaster. There were, you know, popes that were friendlier to the Jews and protected them, and then there were other magistrates and popes that were just terrible to the Jews. And so it was this roller coaster relationship, and ultimately it, you know, culminated in the Holocaust, which I know that still to this day many Jewish people believe is connected directly to Christians and Christianity. So it was a struggle for me because I really wanted to find my place in the church. And I found that now that I was a Christian, I mean, now that I'd accepted Yeshua, Jesus, I was trying to figure out, well, what do I do with my Jewish heritage? Because I had sort of walked away from it when I left Israel in 1984 to become more of an American and more of a secular Jewish person. And all of a sudden, there's this this incredible significance that I'm finding to my heritage as a Jewish man. And I just can't reconcile that with the church. You know, the church is just not providing a space for me to really embrace and connect with my Jewish heritage. The church is not doing anything that really flows with what I grew up with in Israel. The feasts, the holidays, the Shabbat, and all of these things that were very comfortable to me. So I put them kind of all on the back burner, to be honest. I just sort of buried a lot of it for a long time, and my wife and I just continued attending evangelical, mostly non-denominational churches for quite a few years. And then, but still struggling and wrestling with this issue, you know, where do I fit in? I never really quite fit in. We never found a Messianic congregation, for example, that was close by, and so that really never worked for us. And I continued going to church, but I felt like an outsider, to be honest, most of the time, just not quite feeling like I could fit into the church culture entirely. And then I read a book, ironically. I'm flying to Israel. It was not that many years ago. I think it was around 2017. And I'm reading an autobiography written by Ahuva, who was the wife of a Messianic rabbi in Jerusalem, Moshe ben Meir. And he was born and raised in Jerusalem around the turn of the century, and actually grew up in Jerusalem as an ultra-Orthodox Jew, and then got saved by picking up a New Testament, I think, that he found on the ground and read it. And he got saved, and he just, same thing like me, I mean, he just, now he couldn't fit either world. You know, he was not really welcome in the Orthodox Jewish circles any longer, but he also was not able to fit in, and he was not accepted by the Christians that were in Jerusalem either. And he lived this kind of solitary, seemingly solitary life, and started a Messianic congregation, which eventually became the congregation that my mother had attended, Netivia, that Rabbi Joseph Shulam had taken over. And I'm reading this autobiography, and I'm like, wow, that's my story, you know. And I realized in that moment that I was a Jewish person, and I needed to continue to embrace that and not relinquish my identity and my heritage as a Jewish person, and that the Gentiles did not have to become Jews, nor were they supposed to become Jews, and nor were the Jews to give up their identity either by accepting Yeshua, and that God has a plan to bring all of us together as a mixed ecclesia, you know, as it says in Revelation, of every tongue and tribe and nation and people that are standing before the throne and worshiping the Lord. And so that is the church, that we are a mixed ecclesia of, you know, Jewish believers that are the Nath, as Paul says, my kinsmen according to the flesh, that are the Israelites, that are the natural descendants of Abraham. And then we have those that are of the family of Abraham that God has brought in, of the nations. He's the father of many nations that he has brought in to become one people of God, one new man, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, one new humanity, one family of God, and that the Gentiles are co-heirs, meaning they're co-brothers and sisters to inherit the kingdom with us as the Jewish people. And reading that book, it was like this brick sort of lifted off of my chest, because I realized in that moment that it was okay for me to embrace my Jewish heritage. I did not have to change, and I didn't have to hide it, and there wasn't this expectation now upon me to try to conform to this sort of Gentilized version of, you know, Christianity. And then on the other side, there was no expectation that these Gentile Christians had to conform to, you know, Messianic Judaism either. You know, we are free to worship Christ the way that God has created each and every one of us. And so that was a real turning point.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, believe it or not, we're almost out of time, but tell me a little bit about how the Lord is using you today.
Well, that's probably the great question to follow on with, to what I just said. The ministry that I have, House of David Ministries, I was ordained as a Southern Baptist pastor and was invited to start a collegiate ministry in Chico, California, where we have Chico State University. The guy that invited me, the two guys that actually invited me, were both part of the Southern Baptist group up there in Northern California. Both of them were Jews, Jewish pastors. One led a Messianic congregation, the other led a Baptist congregation, but they're both from a Jewish background. And so they invited me to receive the ordination and start this collegiate ministry, and we wanted to reach Jewish students at the university, so we called it House of David because we thought that would sound Jewish and it would hopefully attract Jewish students to come. Well, we never got any Jewish students to show up, but we had a lot of international students that were coming, and I spent a couple of years discipling many of these students over there near the university. And then the Lord moved our family out to Virginia here, just outside of Washington, D.C., and I had to kind of refocus, and the Lord shifted from college ministry work to bivocational. I have a full-time job with Fairfax County government, to bivocational teaching. And so most of the ministry work I do is educational. So I write, I blog, I podcast, I do some video stuff as well. And I connect with a lot of different ministries and pastors in this area and beyond this area, and it's usually folks that are wanting to learn more about, as Christians, they want to learn more about their heritage, their foundation, and for me, I can be a bridge builder. You know, I can connect them to the Jewish world. I can give them a really good, clear insight into the Jewish mind and how we think and the Jewish culture and the language and our people, and so my heart is to, through, you know, teaching and educating and connecting and building these relationships, is to really see the fulfillment of the one new man, of every tongue and tribe and nation and people coming together with the Jewish people and embracing our one Messiah. So that's really the heart of the ministry now, is teaching and building relationships for the kingdom.
And how would you like us to be praying for you?
There's a lot of need for prayer. Probably the biggest challenge I have is that people just don't understand their relationship to the Jewish people. And I teach and I do these crash courses where I try to go through a lot of the foundational teachings. And I can tell you consistently, every time I go through about an hour or so of teaching material, people are like, wow, that was amazing, but you gave us a lot of information and we really need to take some time to digest it. So there's a huge need out there, and I feel sometimes overwhelmed at trying to provide teaching to so many people. And so many Christians, unfortunately, they're not given that proper foundational instruction in their churches or other places, small groups or places they go. So that's a huge need. I do run into those that, on occasion, that just don't like Jews and they don't like my message. And so that, that's a challenge as well on occasion. So, and then just, balancing everything I do between my full-time job, my family, and personal life, and trying to do bivocational ministry work can be really time-consuming and challenging. So those are needs We always have, you know, financial needs for the ministry. I don't take any salary from the money that comes in, but especially with COVID, it seems like donations have been dropping off quite a bit. So, you know, we use the money for traveling, to teach and to provide all of the online technical support, the website, and everything else we do. So it takes money to run a ministry. We don't need a ton of money, but it sometimes feels like we're struggling financially. And I would say that that we're struggling, just that it's things that kind of dropped off recently. And some of the traveling I've wanted to do, I've been invited to other countries. I have not been able to raise all of the money for some of those trips. And so
well, may the Lord provide all that you need. May He increase your finances, increase your opportunities. May He keep you and your family healthy. May He give you wisdom and discernment as you go forward with your ministry. And in Yeshua's name. And we really have to end now, but real quickly, what is the website if people want to donate?
Yeah, it is thehouseofdavid.org. So one word, thehouseofdavid.org.
Excellent. Well, Rabbi Eric, thank you so much for taking time to be my guest, and you have a real important work. I love what you've done with your faith, and may the Lord continue to use you. You have a very exciting story, and I want to thank you for sharing it with me on Bagels and Blessings.
You're most welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. We'll talk soon. God bless you.
All right. Blessings to you, too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Shalom.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Rabbi Eric Teitelman. And right now, here's Sarah Lieberman. This is Great is the Lord. It's from the Roar from Zion CD from Paul Lieberman.
Barakech Adonai Vayismarecha Yair Adonai Panav Alecha Vikunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Alecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.